Matthew chapter 6 one more time. We're taking a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer here. Really, this whole teaching was inspired from this last camp meeting. I had seen a couple of Brother Borg, his 8 o'clock sessions, and he began to share some things that it caused me to take a little deeper look at the Lord's Prayer. Good teaching will do that. You know, there are times we just go over the Word of God, especially the Beatitudes, and we'll just move through so quickly, we think we got it. But, you know, there's more here than I think what meets the eye, and some things that I think will help all of us. It's helping my prayer life. You know, I've been a Christian for 30-some years now, well, about 30, 31, and what I find is that I'm still learning how to pray. I'm still learning the art of prayer. And I have a feeling I'll spend the rest of my life learning how to talk to God. Amen? And just think about it. If we can just learn over time how to connect heart to heart with God, and it's not so hard. Amen? Satan gets in there and messes with our head and our mind and gets us to feel that we're just not getting through. But Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer. And I understand, Spirit-filled, you and I, if we speak in tongues, pray in tongues, yes, your Spirit prayeth. Should we pray in tongues? Yes, definitely. But yet, Jesus, knowing the Holy Spirit was coming, still gave us a pattern. Didn't he? Paul said, I'll pray with the understanding, I'll pray with my spirit also. I'll pray in the understanding, or I'll pray without the understanding. In other words, I'll pray in tongues, I'll pray in my native language. But the key is that we learn to talk to God in prayer. Amen. So Matthew 6 tonight, let's actually go to verse 5. Let's just read this through again. And it's just good to lay the good foundation here again. So in verse 5 it says this, and when thou prayest, Jesus speaking, he says, be thou not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, then pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask him. But after this manner pray you. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And tonight, if we can just give this teaching again another little title or subtitle, we're going to call it A Deeper Look at the Lord's Prayer, Part 2. Amen. Let's go before the Lord and pray for his blessing. Okay. Father, again tonight as we come into your house, we're just thankful to be here as you've enabled us to come to the house of God tonight. More than anything tonight, Lord, I just ask you to help me teach on prayer. Lord, send the true Holy Spirit from heaven, the Spirit of God, who can enable the clay lips of the preacher to speak as the oracles of God. Lord, bring your word to life tonight. Move our hearts. Draw us ever nearer to you. And Lord, open our clay hearts that we can understand, that we can perceive, and even grow in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, those on live stream, bless them. Give them their portion tonight. And Lord, let tonight be just filled with the joy of the Lord and the goodness of God. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As we began this little mini-series last week, we're just going to cover a couple things, but we brought out the fact that, number one, we have to understand as believers that prayer is a privileged benefit for every true believer in Jesus Christ. We brought out the fact that, again, prayer is dialogue with deity. You are praying to God. You're not talking to yourself. You're not praying to hear yourself talk. You are actually connecting with divinity. You are connecting with deity when you pray in Jesus' name. And of course, Jesus taught prayer. In fact, many times as you would read the epistle, or not the epistles, but the gospels, Jesus would even bring out, like I think it's in what, Luke 11, talks about that men ought always to pray, or Luke 18, I think it is. Men ought always to pray and never to faint. Why? We're encouraged to talk to God. We're encouraged to talk to the Lord. And this is something endorsed by Christ himself. We even see the pattern of his life. How many times he would pull away from the multitudes and he would hide away and talk to his heavenly Father. You understand that when Jesus did his work here on earth, he didn't do it as God. He did it as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that is the pattern for all of us. He didn't have, how can I say, he didn't, even though he was God in the flesh, he laid that aside and limited himself to his humanity. Amen? And when it was time for him to go into the work of the Lord, the ministry, then the anointing came on him from heaven. The Holy Spirit anointed him without measure, and he always sought the will of the Father. Jesus never acted independently of himself. He always sought the heart of God his Father, that he would totally obey right to the T, right to the every jot and tittle, that he would obey his Father in heaven and never act independently. But how did he get that understanding? How did he know what to do? He sought the face of his Father. He prayed. He taught us to pray. Even the disciples, seeing him pray, said, "Lord, teach us to pray." There was something so anointed of Jesus' prayer life that even the disciples would ask, "Teach us to pray." Amen. That's a cry we don't hear too much in the body of Christ today. Oh, teach us to pray. You know what I'm saying? But look at the attitude that we are to approach prayer. Amen? You know, we got to talk about prayer on occasion because it's really our lifeblood. Amen? We got to talk to our Heavenly Father. We got to communicate with God. You know, in a marriage, once communication stops, you're on that road to divorce. Because once you can't talk, I mean, you may put up with each other, you may be two ships in the night, but the marriage has died. Something has died because communication is lost. Amen? You take a Christian that won't talk to God, his relationship, her relationship with the Lord is withering. It's already on that crash course of failing, and that person will eventually drift away from the Lord. Amen? You have to talk to God. Amen? We have to learn how to pray, and prayer is a privilege. We are speaking to deity. And we must understand it so. It's a privilege as we pray to the living God. And Jesus teaches us that when we pray in hiding, that we're to pray in hiding, shut in and free from outward distractions whenever we can do that. But he also said, beware of the vain repetition and hollow words and renunciations and chantings. You know, a lot of times today, you see with prayer, people just, well, repeat these 10 words. Well, say this. We brought it out last week. You read in the newspaper. They'll post a little something. Say this prayer 10 times. It'll come to pass. It's never been known to fail. You'll read those little things. Those are vain repetitions. You can't, by mantra or by chanting, get God to do something. Remember, how would you like somebody, your child, your spouse, or your mother or father, to sit at your kitchen table and just repeat 15 times a sentence to you as you're sitting there, and they're just repeating the sentence over and over and over, trying to communicate with you? You would go, "Will you get a life? Will you knock it off? Will you just talk to me?" Amen. You know, and understand, people got this idea that God, for whatever reason, if we just keep repeating and repeating and repeating, we'll say these prayers 10 times. Where do they get that from? Even Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. When you want to pray, shut yourself in and start talking to God. Amen. And understand, that's what prayer is. Prayer is really talking to God. It's communicating. Amen. And you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to pray in King James. You can just go in and talk to the Lord, to the Father in Jesus' name, and begin talking to the Lord. Amen. And so the Lord instituted prayer. And Jesus teaches us that all true prayer will be rewardedly or openly rewarded. So understand, when you and I begin to connect with God and begin to pray, then people, in yourself included, will begin to see the open reward. What is that, Pastor? Well, when you start praying, the burden lifts. That's an open reward right there. Amen? You go talk to God and you're heavy of heart. You got things on your mind, things in your shoulders. And so now you go talk to the Lord and all of a sudden you feel the release of that. That's an open reward. You'll have the joy. You'll have peace. You'll know you've connected with the Lord. You know you've been shut in with God. They even said of the disciples, they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Amen? When you're communicating with God, talking to the Lord, there's evidence you've been with the Lord. Amen? Even Moses, when he was up on the mountain with God, came down and his face was shining bright and he had to put a veil over his face. He had been in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So understand, when you're praying and you're talking to God, there will be some open reward for you. Part of that, too, is answered prayer. God can't answer a prayer that hasn't been prayed. Amen? And so we talk about the open reward. You know, we mentioned this even in our preaching. You know, but everything comes to us, to God, through faith as we look to Him and talk to Him and call on His name. But we ask for things. And because we take this by faith, faith says that I have a right to ask my Heavenly Father for things I have need of. And so when I begin to get a prayer life, I'm starting to give God my list. And I'm starting to ask Him for things. Well, things may not immediately start happening and come to pass. But guess what? The more you pray, the more you sow into the heavens, the more you call on God, guess what? Eventually, the windfall starts coming. Things start happening. God starts doing things. God starts opening doors. God starts moving the mountains. God starts making all grace abound. That's the open reward Jesus was talking about. Amen? And when we're sowing sparingly, not just talking finances, but even in our prayer, if we're sowing sparingly in prayer, we're going to reap sparingly. Amen? Amen. That's why you wonder, some people, why does it seem they see so much in the Lord? Why does it seem they get so much done? Why does it seem so God does so much for them? Well, maybe they got a prayer life. And maybe the Lord is just answering prayer. Amen? Ever stop and think of that? It's not that God is a respecter of persons. Some people have just learned how to communicate with God and begin to ask and pray and not take no for an answer. Amen. Listen, we're encouraged by Scripture. We're encouraged by the Lord, by the epistles of Paul, and that when you pray, we're to pray with all supplication in the Spirit. We're to talk to God. We're to ask Him for great things. Amen? Hallelujah. And you'll start seeing some things as an open reward. This is where we're encouraged. So Jesus, in the Beatitudes, sitting down, talking and teaching the multitudes, is teaching His disciples and His followers how to pray and how to see results and how to see things happen and how to see an open reward that people will know and you will know that you've been shut in with God. Amen? They've even wrote songs about it, shut in with God in the secret place. Amen. So there's something precious about that, something wonderful. And as you and I, as we learn how to talk to God, amen, the burden will lift. And so we covered that a little bit last week about Jesus teaches us that all true prayer will be openly rewarded. I'm stumbling a little bit because there's a little bit of glare here on my notes here, so just forbear with me here a minute. Okay, also, we will begin to realize that Jesus, now in the Beatitudes, is teaching us how to pray as an outline here. He said, after this manner pray you. In other words, pray like this. And understand, the Lord's Prayer is not meant so much for repetition, but it's a model. Amen? You know, I shared this last week, but it bears repeating. Before I knew the Lord, before I was born again, brought up in religion, I was taught the Lord's Prayer. And that's really about the main prayer I knew, except now I lay me down to sleep, you know, I pray my soul, you know, you know how that goes. But the Lord's Prayer, I knew it, we always recited it. Every time we go to that Lutheran church service or whatever it was, they'd close and they'd say the Lord's Prayer in unison, you know. And so I found myself as a sinner, every time I'd be laying in bed, going to sleep, under my breath, I'd repeat that prayer. You know, so in a sense, I was exhibiting faith in God, but it wasn't a saving faith. But there was something about that prayer that we all seem to love. Every time at a funeral, I do a funeral. We'll close with that, even to this day, because people know it. And it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of, you know, it's not a vain repetition. You're just trying to get people to acknowledge their Heavenly Father. Amen? And there's something very, very sacred about the Lord's Prayer, isn't there? Amen? I mean, it's beautiful just prayed as it is. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, I mean, there's just something about that prayer. It's beautiful. But really, Jesus didn't give us the prayer to repeat verbatim. You know, because I'll tell you what, after about, what does that prayer take? Maybe 20 seconds to get through? Now what? You know, so it's not so much, I said my prayers, I said a prayer. It's an outline. It's a pattern. Amen. When I teach and I preach, I write an outline, okay? But now I got to fill in the blanks. Same with the Lord's Prayer. It's an outline, but now by the help of the Holy Spirit, as you go to God in prayer, amen, it's an outline. And the first thing we talked about last week is Jesus said this. He said, you begin by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, you begin by acknowledging you have a Father in heaven you're addressing. Amen? And this is where we covered last week, that Jesus was portraying the fatherhood of God, and that we can see God as our true Father. And remember, when he said our Father, Jesus was referring, not only is he your Father, but he was Jesus' Father too. And so, talking about the universality of one Heavenly Father over the body of Christ. Amen? So understand, you have a Father in heaven. That tells me you're not an orphan. Not all of us were raised with the best parenting. We know that. Some of us had very poor examples as fathers. But your Heavenly Father is a perfect Father who only loves you. I want to word this right. He is your perfect Heavenly Father who loves you with a perfect love unconditionally in spite of what you do and who you are and how we react and behave sometimes. He loves us unconditionally, and he is set for the perfect development of his children. Amen. And realize that tonight. Our Father, which is in heaven, God is personal to each believer, but he's also corporately our Father as a body too. God the Father also portrays his headship, his authority, and his position over me. When I'm going and saying, Our Father in heaven, I'm acknowledging his position over me. He is my Father. I am submissive to him. Amen? He has jurisdiction over me. You see, no man is an island to himself. Amen? You know, even if the world doesn't serve the Lord, they are still under their master, Satan. Amen? But you and I who are surrendered to Christ, our master is our Father in heaven. And he's not a taskmaster. Amen? So realize tonight that he is our head. He is in full authority over my life and his position is over me also. But God as Father also reveals my need for submission to his lead, his will, and his providence concerning me. So when I go to God and I'm saying my Father in heaven, in all of that, I'm acknowledging the fact that he is over me. He will lead me. He has a plan for me. He cares about me. He watches over me. Amen? And by realizing, by acknowledging that, I am bringing myself into the awareness that God is providentially watching over my life. Amen? He is watching over his child. And has a plan and good things planned for his child and his children corporately, right? And so we have to understand that tonight. He reveals my need for submission to his lead. You know, God as Father also declares his nature, who he is, as he who will love me, nurture me, nourish me, and develop me. Amen. And my Father in heaven also portrays his place in eternity, his providence, his position as Lord of all and over all creation. No God or other deity is higher or more exalted than the true living God. Amen. As the Bible says, if they ain't God, they're all demons or all devils. Amen. Because they are not a deity, but he is deity. So understand, when we go to God and say, Our Father in heaven, it's more than just saying, My Father. It's acknowledging and bringing yourself into the embrace of your Heavenly Father, the one who loves you and cares for you, who providentially watches over you. Amen. Amen. Even Jesus has said to him, God so watched over him lest he dash his foot against a stone. God was watching every detail of God the Son's life as if he's also watching over every detail of your and my life. Jesus would even go on to say, your Heavenly Father sees every sparrow that falls. Amen? This is who your Father is. And if he sees the fall of the sparrow, how much more is he watching over you and watching over me. Amen? And so, our Father, it's not just a statement. It's just not, okay, he's my heavenly Father. It's almost like a Selah. Pause and meditate on this. Embrace this thought. What does this mean? The vastness that you have a heavenly Father that you can go to and have a personal audience with. Amen? Understand that tonight. He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my Father. You know, and Brother Borg was bringing out a few things about this, and I thought, I never really thought about it like that. You know, there's times when I just pray the way I pray. You know, and so I've been asking the Lord, I thought, you know, maybe there's something to this outline. A deeper look is needed at this. And so as I began to seek the Lord, I began to say, you know, look at it as a pattern and look at it as an outline. I'm thinking, okay, now, how do you pray this without just going through verbatim? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that kind of thing. And so I began, and I just came into the presence of the Lord, and where I normally take my time with the Lord, and I started talking, and I said, Lord, my Father, who art in heaven. And I just paused there a moment, and I don't know where the tears began to well up. For some reason, the Holy Spirit was showing me the things I'm trying to bring across to you, that he cares for us. And he's a Father, a good Father, who's trying to do you right and do me right. There's times I just pass through this so quickly, and I began to just pause there, and I began to ponder the fatherhood of God. And as I was acknowledging him, you see, my dad had his struggles, but I'll tell you one thing, I loved my dad. Dad was just somebody, he was just who he was, but you loved him in spite of him. Can I just say that? And maybe as Dad has passed on and now I'm talking to God, he's my heavenly Father, I realize that I really do love God. I love him as my Father too. And I should love him so much more than my earthly father. But I begin to pause and muse on this a little bit. And I begin to sense his spirit, his presence. Amen. He's my Father. He's your Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And I find myself, and I'm not trying to see how long we can space this out and, you know, how long can I make this prayer? You know, can I make it an hour or two? Can I make it 3 hours? Can I make it 20 minutes? That's not even entering my mind. I was acknowledging my Father. Amen. And let me tell you something about this, folks. When we begin to understand that God is our Heavenly Father, the security that begins to well up in your spirit, you don't feel orphaned anymore. You do feel like he's got your back and that he is presiding over your life. You begin to sense that. Amen. Our Father in heaven. Remember, prayer is somewhat supernatural too. So you can't always explain it in English. You got to add a little bit of the emotion into it. You got to add a little bit of the things you're sensing with it. Amen. As long as we stay scriptural with it, we'll be all right. Amen. So, our Father, which is in heaven. You see, his name is hallowed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, this is the pattern. This is the outline that Jesus is laying out. Hallowed be thy name. So I pondered my Father in heaven. And begin to think about that, muse on that. The Spirit of God began to move on me. Then I begin to think about how holy he is. That he's just not the big boy upstairs. He's not just the big one in the sky. He's just not one of many gods. That his name is hallowed, that even the seraphim, the cherubim fall 24 hours as I'm speaking to you right now in heaven. They can't even get up. They can't even get up. since they were created, the one glimpse of God who created them, they just fell. And from eternity past till now, they've been saying, holy, holy, holy. See? And there's no pause in that. Think about that. Now they're there. They see that. Now I can only perceive that by faith. Hallowed be thy name. You know, the Word of God tells us, too, about not taking God's name in vain. You know, sometimes we do this, and you know, I think I do it. I've done it on occasion, but all of a sudden, you're stunned about something. You go, God! You know, it's not that you've used it in profanity, but the name is being thrown around loosely, isn't it? You know, you get the heathen mad, they'll use Jesus Christ as profanity. They'll say God, D-A-M, something. And, but his name is holy. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the writings of Jewish writers, but when they write the name God in English, they'll put G-D. G, like a G with a dash, D. They'll leave the O out of it. Do you know why they do that? I was wondering, why do they do that? This is some of their take on that. They in their mind, they so reverence the name of God that if they were to just write the word God on a simple piece of paper, like on a note or on a term paper or something, even schoolwork, that if that paper would ever get thrown into the garbage, they feel that was an arrow to the heart of God. And so they left the O out in their mind that wasn't, even though they were referencing God, it wasn't the name God. And so if that paper gets shredded or thrown away or whatever, they wouldn't feel there was any desecration there then. Okay, now I can understand where they're coming from, but you know, but that's how they've hallowed the name of God. To the point where they didn't even want to write it out in full thing in case that paper would ever get thrown away, that they, in their mind that was dishonoring the Lord. See, hallowed means sacred and holy. It speaks of reverence and honor for the one you're talking to and for who he is. For God's name is never to be taken lightly. It's never to be taken in vain. You know, we have to see that our Father is to be deeply, personally reverenced with a broken humility and not a false, pious humility. Amen? This is what you'll see in the religions. They come up with a false piety, a false humility, and they'll walk in a building and they'll do their thing and their sacred thing so carefully, but they'll go out and they'll live like a devil. See, in their mind, they're not reverencing the name of God. They're not reverencing God at all, really. They're coming in with a false humility, like God is looking at them, how careful they're trying to be and how holy they're trying to be. I've always said it this way, but you ever see somebody that's trying to be humble and meek that is not humble and meek, and they're trying to come across as if they're that? They're not good actors either. Amen. And you can just read right through it, you know. You know, one time a guy came into work one time years ago, and this was in Horicon, and oh man, did he have a mouth on him? And he just come in, and he cursed, every other word was a curse word, curse word. Well, this fellow was there, and his name was Gordy, and Gordy says to the man, he says, boy, he says, I don't know if I talk like that, and he pointed to me, he said, this guy's a minister. And then all of a sudden the guy just switched gears, and he got all of a sudden real, like, holy. Like, you know, it was, and I said, friend, I said, it ain't me you got to worry about. It's Almighty God that hears what you're saying. You know, and that's what I told him. And he didn't know how to react to that. But, you know, when he thought I was a minister, all of a sudden now he gets real holy, you know, but our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is to be reverenced. Your name is holy. Your name is pure, it's just, it's life. Amen. And it's not to be taken lightly. And when you ponder that in prayer, When you ponder the one you're talking to, realize that he is a holy God. Know what the word says about him. Let that get into your heart, your spirit. Amen. We have to understand that. And God's name should always produce a sober heart and a sober attitude when it comes to talking about the things of God. But then he would go on here now, and Jesus would say, now move into thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, this is interesting, it is a petition. It is an invitation. It's really a call to arms. You know, I found myself this week, you know, it's just something that I began to really get a hold of here. But when you're praying and you're talking to the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And what does that really mean? Does it mean millennial reign come? The return of Jesus come? The new heavens and the earth come? Well, that's part of it. The problem is that's all set in stone. That's all in the Father's will and in the Father's plan at a certain time. But what Jesus is really talking about in your daily life, pray that God's kingdom come to you. Amen. You know, think about it. And so I begin to ask this week already in prayer. There's times even in my shop I'd be working and I'd just take some prayer time and I'd walk back and forth and I'd begin to praise the Lord and talk to Him. But then I found myself praying for people in my family, situations. And I started finding myself, Lord, let your kingdom come unto them. Let your kingdom come to my sons. Let your kingdom come to my daughters. Let your kingdom come to my grandchildren. Let your kingdom come to Promised Land Church. You see, it's a call to arms. It's an invitation. It's asking your Heavenly Father, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let it be where we are. Let the kingdom of God be extended to us at our point of need. Amen. And boy, I'll tell you, the boldness I began to sense praying that. Lord, let your kingdom come to my boys. Let them know your kingdom. Let them know your power. Let them know your spirit. Let them know your love. Let them know your plan. Let your kingdom come unto them. You know, and I found myself praying not just for my children, but for my church, but some of you. I found the Lord by the Holy Spirit bring before my face. And I said, God, let your kingdom. And some of you are here tonight. I won't tell you who. But God began to have me pray. Let your kingdom come to them. Amen. And then those that I know that are unsaved, Lord, visit them with your kingdom. Let your kingdom knock at their heart's door. Get their attention. Lord, let the kingdom of God come to them. And think about that. What is the kingdom of God? God comes to you with salvation. God comes to you with strength. God comes to you with mercy. God comes to you with provision. God comes to you with His plan. God comes to you with His anointing. God comes to you with His purpose in your life. And on and on and on. You see, this is what I was getting a hold of when I was talking about the Lord's Prayer. This is why I was so excited about this thing. I thought I was hearing things and seeing things I never saw before. But this is why Jesus said, use it as a pattern. You don't know how to pray for people, don't know what to say. Say, God, mention their name. Let your kingdom come unto them. Let your kingdom come. My Lord, think about that. What else can you pray for? Amen. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come now. Let it come quickly. Let it come soon. Let it come in great glory and power. Oh, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come to that obstinate heart. Let your kingdom come to that belligerent soul. Let your kingdom come to that one who does wants nothing to do with you. See, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. You see, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, Jesus said, but it comes in men's hearts. Amen. In other words, we're not going to see it until the millennial reign where the kingdom of God literally comes from heaven to earth. Amen. But your kingdom come. Your grandchildren. I found my grandchildren. Lord, let your kingdom come to them. Amen. Praying for my wife. Let your kingdom come to her. Amen. I want her blessed. She wants me blessed. I want your kingdom in her life. She wants the kingdom of God in my life. Amen? See, I'm belaboring this point because I just don't want to walk over this and then we miss the whole thing here. The kingdom of God is everything that God has, all bound up in the work of the cross. It's a finished work. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer, pray your kingdom come. Amen. Hallelujah. To those loved ones lost in false religion, oh, let your kingdom come to them. Open their eyes. Let your kingdom knock at their heart's door. Let them have a visitation from above. Amen. Listen. People don't need to be talked into Christianity. They need an encounter with the living God as the kingdom of God comes near them. Amen? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Isn't that powerful? When you get a hold of it? I'll tell you what, I found myself a half hour. Just a half hour, my God, everything. Oh, this one will come in. God, let your kingdom come to them. You know, I felt like I could run through the troop leap over the wall. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. There's power in that. There's power in that. There's power in that. No wonder why Jesus didn't tell us this. Just it sounds good. This will help you out, guys. Just do your best at it. Just kind of pray through it. No. Think about what this is all being said. What does this all entail? What's it all involved? Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, hallowed be thy name, but thine kingdom come. It's a petition. It's an invitation. It's a call to arms. You see, in this world, the power of Satan reigns. The spirit of the Antichrist reigns. The powers and principalities rule in the heavenly places. But God's kingdom is to move into this earth realm first in the hearts of men. For the kingdom of God does not come with observation, Jesus said. It comes within hearts. We are to pray the kingdom come to reign in my heart, my children's heart, my spouse's heart, my church's heart, and where I live, where I dwell, wherever I go, the kingdom of God is with me. Amen, Pastor. Okay. Think about it. Thy kingdom come. It's not so much praying for the Lord to return, but it's more about the rule and the dominion of God, His power and His glory be manifested first in me, and Lord, let it be manifested to those to where your kingdom is coming. Amen. I mean, even Jesus would say, the kingdom of God has come near unto you, talking about different people in the Gospels. Amen. Do you realize when you feel the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of God is near you? It's not just the Holy Spirit. It's not just God the Holy Spirit. It is. But God don't come alone. He brings heaven with Him. He brings His kingdom with Him. Those times you feel those refreshings from the times of the presence of the Lord, that's God's kingdom moving on you. Hallelujah. The kingdom is near. That's why the Bible says, call on Him while He is near. Isaiah 55, I think. While the Lord is near, call on Him. Amen. Why? Because the kingdom is near at hand. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come. You know, we all got loved ones that need the Lord. We pray for their salvation, and it's a right thing. But I'm wondering, in that prayer, if we'd be better off following the pattern of Jesus and say, Lord, move your kingdom, bring your kingdom near Johnny's heart, near Susie's heart. Let your kingdom come to them. Let your power overwhelm them. Let your love be known to them. Oh God, let the kingdom of God just hit them like a brick. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, it's quiet. Praise the Lord. So our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. And let's cover this tonight. We'll call it a night here. But he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, God's will is to be above our own will. As a child of God, I got to find myself in that place where I want his will even above my own comfort. I want what he wants in my life, even beyond what my flesh might like or not like. His will has to preside over my will for this thing to work like it should. Amen? And his will is never, it's usually not comfortable to your flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say his will, we're talking about really his purpose in your life. The flesh don't always like what God asks of us. But we're not talking about God's going to, if I really yield to his will, he's going to throw me in Africa in the back of the jungle and I'll die of malaria as a martyr for Christ, you know. Now, if he calls it to that, fine. But, you know, amen. But usually, that's not what we're talking about with his will. What he's saying here, what Jesus is saying, is that, Lord, I want your will above my own will. His will is to be done here and now and not later. So understand that when we're praying, oh, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven, understand that I am asking for the will of God to override my desires, my will, my self-will many times. Right? Lord, I want your will to be done. And why do we got to pray that? Because if I don't ask for that, my will prevail. I'll find myself carving out my path in life, going where I want to go and doing what I want to do. Now, don't get me wrong. God will give us the desires of our heart. But in that, sometimes there are things that he asks of us in the will of God, and some things he's protecting us from. I want his will. Look at Jesus as the pattern. Jesus always sought the will of his Father, never to act independently of his Father. He was a surrendered man. And the pattern is, you and I as children of God are to be surrendered children to the will of the Father. And his will is not grievous, Jesus said. It will be good. It will be right. It will be a perfect will of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Amen. It's a good will. It's a perfect will. Amen. And so, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. We got to see that God's will is always right, and it's always righteous, and it's always holy, and it's meant to bring life, peace, and blessing. Amen. His will for me is holy, it's pure, it is right. There's nothing unrighteous in the perfect will of God for you. God doesn't have no secondary motives. He's not trying to hide anything from us. He wants us to have his best. Because he's a loving heavenly Father. Amen? This also speaks, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This also speaks of heavenly harmony and unity within his will. For his commandments are not grievous. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is always done in heaven without hesitation. It really speaks of yielding to what that will is. Amen. The will of God. The will of God. The will of God. Hallelujah. Your will be done in earth. And when I say in earth, he's talking about your earth realm where you live. And, of course, eventually, the will of God will be done in the whole world when Jesus returns. But he's speaking about the here and now. Lord, your will be done in my life, in my place, in this earth. as it is in heaven. Do you realize there was a rebellion in heaven in eternity past? But since Satan and his angels have been cast out, there's perfect unity there again. Every created being in heaven willingly follows the Lamb, willingly follows the Lord. As that will is yielded to instantly, the Lord wants us to instantly yield to His Word and to His will by the help and grace of God. Amen. Stop and think about a lot of the troubles we face in life. How many of them, in a way, are self-inflicted because we have not done His will on earth as it is in heaven? We've done our own thing. I would say 85 to 90% of our troubles are probably self-inflicted. And so why is Jesus asking us to pray like this? So we acknowledge the fact that I'm in submission to God. I have a Father over me. And if I learn to yield to Him like Jesus shows us how He yielded to the Heavenly Father, it will go a lot better in your life. Right? Hallelujah. Final note here. Jesus always sought the will of His Father, as we are to do also. But unfortunately, God's will is seldom done. But the good news is His plan will always be done. Amen. Now, let me qualify that. What do you mean His will is seldom done, but His plan is always done? It's God's will for me to walk in His light and in His counsel, to always obey His word, to always be reacting in a godly manner. But because I'm flesh and I'm human and I got idiosyncrasies at times, I don't fire on all 8 cylinders all the time. So His will is always, you know, not always done, is it? We don't always follow His word when we know we should be following His word, do we? We do things independently of His word, thinking that somehow we can do this and get away with it. But it backfires all the time. Now, put that corporately in a church or corporately in the body of Christ in the world, and you realize that God's will many times is very seldom done, especially in the unsaved. Amen. But God's plan will override the self-will of man, and God will always get done what He needs to get done. His will isn't always done daily, but His plan eventually is always done. And if I'll follow Him, even though I have a lot of stumblings, and if I'll talk to Him and I'll call on His name and I'll learn how to pray and I'll ask His kingdom to come and I'll reverence His name by faith in that finished work, covered by the blood, I will see the will of God done and the plan of God executed in my life and in your life. And corporately as a church, and pray that you do individually too, see the will of God and the plan of God fulfilled. Amen. You have a Heavenly Father, talk to Him. Call on His name. I challenged you last week, take some time. Begin to walk through that prayer, the outline of it, and just muse a few moments on each statement and watch what starts coming into your heart, what God will have you pray for. Amen. And I'll tell you, you feel good when it's all over. You'll have an open reward. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.